Back at it for you on Monday, September 16th, we talked to a black female Republican conservative congressional candidate from the South and asked her whether she thought more female black voters would ever be voting Republican. Also, Republican State Senate Leader Len Fasano of North Haven joined us to chat about this grocery tax that a lot of folks think hasn't been presented to Connecticut taxpayers on the up and up.
Listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600.
Yeah, that's us, and hour number two up and underway here on Connecticut Today. It's a Monday, and we are at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. A little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about vaccine exemptions. Apparently now, if you want to not vaccinate your kids because of whatever religious precept you believe in, that might end here in Connecticut in a year or two or three. So we'll talk about that coming up straight ahead. We'll get some legislative input on that. But right now I want to talk to something you don't hear about a lot, an African-American conservative woman. Dr. Lyra Lee joins us out of Georgia, congressional candidate. But she's speaking out about one of the future voter blocks that really is going to be pivotal in future elections. Dr. Lee, it's Paul here in Bridgeport. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Great to have you join us here. I appreciate it. You are, Dr. Lee, something of, I would think, an anomaly in American politics. You are a black conservative woman. I know we did have Mia Love in the House for a term, but people who fit that category, there aren't too many of them, are there?
Actually, Paul, we are a growing population. There are a lot of black conservative women, not maybe that are ready to step out into the, you know, run as a candidate. But as you know from history, we as a people, blacks, were initially Republican, especially in the South.
Yep.
I grew up in South Carolina, where I'm from. My area of Mount Corner and Hugie, we were black Republicans. So it's not rare.
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah. However, doctor, in the present day media atmosphere that we live in and how polarized we are, you must mention your affiliation and your political philosophy to at least some people who must sit back and raise their eyebrows, don't want to actually look at any critical thinking and tell you, well, why the heck would you want to do that?
I believe, Paul, to answer your question, prior to 2015, I don't think we would have had these raised eyebrows because of our president, who can be kind of spicy sometimes, nevertheless has done a phenomenal job, especially with African-American unemployment, conservative Supreme Court justices, the list goes up, pro-life. The list goes on and on. That's where the raised eyebrows come in. And one of the things that I say with the raised eyebrows when they say, oh, Lyra, you know, he's a racist. He and his dad didn't rent to blacks back in the day. I'll say, you know what? He that's without sin cast the first stone. That was his past. We all have a past. Also, abhor what is evil. Cleave to which that is that which is good.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a lot of good for the African American community, irrespective of the past.
You know, African Americans, we're talking with Dr. Lyra Lee, black conservative out of Georgia, congressional candidate. A lot of folks, Lyra, don't quite understand that there are pockets, as you say, of conservatism in the black community. And as you quite properly mentioned, prior till about the mid to late 30s or 40s, blacks generally in the U.S. who did vote were Republicans, largely stemming from the emancipation from Abe Lincoln up until that shift began a little bit during the FDR years.
You're absolutely right. As a whole, historically, we are conservative people. We are a God-fearing people. And that's where the Constitution comes in. I'm a constitutionalist. A lot of members in my family are and were. So you're absolutely right. The shift came with the rise of the New Deal and giving things away, the great giveaway. And that's where the destruction of the black family started, Paul. Before, we were a strong family unit. We were people of faith. And then after the New Deal, things just started to shift. So you're absolutely right. We were, and many of us still are, conservative people. And it's my job out on the campaign trail to activate that, to reach the moderates, to reach the liberals, to tell them we have some of the same messages of unity and love. We differ in policy, but we agree that America is the greatest nation in the world, and we want to protect that. The destruction of our country, Paul, are the progressives. They are the ones that are destroying our country with this crazy leftist agenda.
What was your reaction? You remember during the Trump campaign, Dr. Lee, I remember he came out one day and he did go to some inner cities. I forgot where he said it, but you may remember where he said something like, look around you, look around me. Yeah. He said, look around you, vote for me. What have you got to lose? Now, the initial reaction to that was, oh, he's being demeaning to black neighborhoods. But I think what he was trying to say is exactly what you just said.
Absolutely. He's talking about failed democratic policies where our inner cities, many of our schools, our public schools in our inner cities that have children in them that look just like me, Paul, are failing. Many of our children are not getting the best education, or are they having the opportunity to have choice? I know the IB, International Baccalaureate Program, is expensive, but how many of our inner city schools have the IB program? How many of our inner city schools have the opportunity to offer different languages? So that's what he was talking about. And guess what? He delivered on that promise. What do you have to lose? When Senator Tim Scott sponsored the opportunity zones, President Trump signed off on that, where we're reinvesting in our inner cities. But unfortunately, our media is not balanced anymore. So that message is not getting out. And then they'll flip it and say, oh, he's racist. No, he cares. He wants all Americans to succeed, irrespective of zip code. That is what I want. I want all Americans to succeed, irrespective of zip code, and especially District 7 Georgia, where I'm running. I want our district to succeed, irrespective of race. We are the third most diverse area district in the country.
Wow. That's an interesting fact. So that district that you're in, as far as different ethnicities, you say you're number three in the entire country?
We're third. Wow. We have about, I believe, at least 180 plus different languages. Yes, sir.
I didn't know there were that many languages. Boy, you got me on this one. 18 past 3, 318, 203-333-9422. A few more minutes here with the type of person you don't hear too much about in the media anyway. A black Republican female congressional candidate, Dr. Lyra Lee, out of Georgia, and she has a unique perspective on all this stuff. Dr. Lee, how many times have you or do you get called on an average day, average week campaigning or talking to people? How many times do you get called a sellout by people?
You know what, Paul? I haven't.
Really?
Because I haven't, because I'm a Christian conservative, and as I said earlier on the last little segment, conservatives and liberals, we can find common ground. Mm-hmm. We really can. Paul, I am astonished that the Democrats have rejected liberals for progressives. And I'm just here, when I'm out on the campaign and I'm talking, I'm reminding liberals that they're still Americans. And as Americans, that makes us family.
Well, yeah, you're right, Dr. Lee. There's a difference, and I always say this, there's a difference between a true open-minded liberal and somebody who's just a crazy leftist.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And because I come from a Christian perspective with faith, family, faith in our nation and love for our family, they genuinely see my heart, and they genuinely see that I love our country and our district. And it goes back to our upbringing. My granddad, I was raised by my grandparents, so I'm an old school, I'm an old school youngin'. But granddaddy fought in World War II, and you know, during that time, everything was segregated.
Yep.
Granddaddy was called everything but a child of God. But he taught me to always hold my head up high, and no matter what, you love our country. You love our Constitution. And I did that, Paul. And that's what I take out on the campaign trail. And they see that passion. And you can't help. I have a bubbly personality. You can't help but to fall in love with that, even if you disagree.
It's amazing, Dr. Lee. You mentioned what your grandfather said. And as you said, he was right in the military in the crux of World War II, where there were, I mean, the segregation in the U.S. military, even among blacks who reached the level of officers, was amazing. Yet I'm pleased to hear how he felt so strongly about the goals of the country that he was fighting for, yet in certain areas, certain people tried to keep him down.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, love for country. And that's the thing that is gives me heartache. The progressives, it seems like there's a hatred of country. And I just don't understand how you can call yourself American. And all the people, all the veterans that we've lost fighting for this country and hold the sentiments that you do, I don't understand it. And I don't understand the media not being balanced anymore, where it's people like you that have these wonderful shows where you get a chance to really talk about the truth. And going back to black women, sitting down, having discussions about the Constitution,
yep.
As you know, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments are so valuable to me. And of course, you know why. And not just to me, to other black Americans in this country. So getting back to the Constitution, I think people really don't understand it. And bringing that back to the forefront is really going to help change the outcomes of future elections.
You know, a gentleman not too far from you in the South there, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, Dr. Lee, a lot of people didn't think he would win. He did win, and I read something interesting. They were looking at some of the crosstabs after that race a few months ago of why he won. And he got, and you've probably seen this reported, he got a surprising amount of, ready, the black female vote.
Yeah.
And they found out that the reason he got that was because of school choice. The fact that he was a staunch supporter of charter schools and school vouchers to give African-Americans and Hispanics a better education, something that mainline Democrats oppose, yet black women largely put him over the top because of that.
You're absolutely right. As mothers, we want, what mother does not want the best for their children? I have five children, Paul, and when I look into their eyes, I want to know, and I want them to know, that I have done everything possible to ensure that they have had the very best education. Every mother, every parent, every family wants that for their child. And because I've always fought for that for my children, I'm going to do the same thing for the children in District 7 and America. So you're right, more choice options, just as we talked about when President Trump said, what do you have to lose? He was talking about, look at the state of public schools in most of these inner cities. And the media just flipped and went wild with that.
Well, the teachers' unions go crazy. You've probably seen it there, right? The teachers' unions, the minute you get behind any sort of charter school or school lottery, Dr. Lee, their heads start to flip open. They go crazy.
Here we're blessed here in Georgia that we Gwinnett County is one of the is the largest school district in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Then District 7 Forsyth is one of the best school districts out of the Metro Atlanta area. So we're blessed to have a good pocket school system here.
Yeah.
But to answer, just to specifically answer your question, like you said with Governor DeSantis, more and more black mothers, Latino mothers, white mothers, they just want the best. And choice options, I think people are more agreeable to choice than they were before.
Finally, Dr. Lee, before we let you go, you know, you're on the ground there and you're campaigning and all the polls are starting to come out now. And, you know, for whatever these polls are, whether they're just Americans or registered voters or likely voters, I know you and I know you have to read them very, very carefully before you take any stock in them. Do you think that there is a dynamic there regarding this president that could prove those polls wrong again like they were in 2016? Or do you think there is such a deep-seated hatred for the president that he may lose in 2020 next year?
Paul, I believe that he will win again in 2020. I believe that conservatives are hiding. They have been hiding because they feel like some that they'll be labeled a racist because that's the narrative. It's the same narrative 10 years ago where all black men were bad because what would you see in the media? Oh, you'd see the black guy on the front page of the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And then I always knew when it was a white person, a white man, because you see his little picture. they had to change that. And so conservatives are hiding because they don't want their friends and their families to think they're racist. But we here in the Deep South, many of us are Christians. We love the Lord. We love the policies that the Trump administration is putting forth. And it's going to resonate in the polls. The media can say what they want. People hate his tweets. People don't always love his temperament. Like I said, he is spicy, but at the end of the day, you have to love his policies. And like I said, he that was set without sin cast the first stone.
Dr. Lira Lee, congressional candidate down in Georgia, giving us the perspective from the southern part of the U.S. that a whole bunch of people up here never get out to and get to visit down there. Doctor, I've been down in that part of the country and out west and been able to travel a little bit in my life, not enough. I urge people up here to get out of the Northeast as often as possible because it really is another world.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes. Dr. Lee, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Paul.
Thanks.
Thank
bye-bye. It's a different world, folks. It's my producer, Aaron, can attest to that. It's a different world, boys and girls. Buckle in, kids. Coming October 1st, a whole bunch of new food taxes. Here's a guy I know that's thrilled that his individual slice of pizza is going to be taxed. Len Fasano joins us, State Senate Republican Chairman. Len, there was a Facebook meme. I don't know whether you saw it. I don't know if you're on Facebook. There's a Facebook meme going around. You ready? It reads something like this. Honestly, Len, it reads something like this. I saw it this weekend. New Jersey made $30 million proceeds of legalized sports gaming. X and X state made so much money with legalized marijuana. Connecticut is taxing salads and pizza. And I read it and I laughed out loud just the way you did, Len. How perfect is that, Len? How perfect is that?
It is perfect. That is kind of funny.
Jersey's making 30 mil from gambling and we're taxing slices of pizza.
You know, what's really sad about that is, you know, if you want to go gamble. I mean, that's purely your prerogative. And same thing they ever legalized marijuana, it's your option.
Yeah.
But people go to the grocery store every day, or virtually every day.
And they go to the prepared food section, Len, because they're not there. Maybe they're there just to grab something for lunch.
Yeah, but plus even more, you know, you're right. So let's be clear so people understand what we're talking about. Right now when you go to the grocery store, virtually anything you buy from the grocery store and go through the checkout counter is zero tax. Now, if a grocery store like a Big Y has got those little ovens and a little counter space, and you order it and you eat it there, it's 6.35 like you would at any restaurant.
Yeah.
But basically, your groceries are zero tax. Under this law, the way they passed it in the budget, it applies to grocery stores. So if you go to a grocery store and get mixed salad that comes in a plastic bag, 8 ounces, you know, you get it from whatever place Dole makes those, right?
Yeah.
And you buy that, that's considered a prepared food. You're going to be charged 7.35% on that prepared food.
Yeah.
It is crazy stuff. And then, so if you go to, like, there's little supermarkets around here, little neighborhood stores, they make their own sauce or
yeah.
they make their own soup.
Yeah.
That's going to be charged 7.35 instead of zero. But if you bought Campbell's soup, a major corporation, because it distributes worldwide, no tax.
No tax. No.
No tax
no.
on Campbell. But if the little market down the street that's a neighborhood market, they make fresh soup, probably better for your health.
Yeah.
They're going to tax you.
Now there have I'm reading some of your compatriots there, Len, on the other side of the aisle. They said, "Well, you know, this is going to bring in $65 million, and we need this money. It's in the budget. We need the money, and all these other states do it." What's your reaction to that?
First of all, it's a money grab.
Oh yeah.
So that's what they admit right there. Number two, no, they're wrong. The other states that do it on prepared foods that are consumed at the facility. This is. But you grab a rotisserie chicken, which a lot of people do. You grab a rotisserie chicken, you go through the checkout line. Right now, zero. October 1st, 7.35. Every hardworking person, every single parent, everybody maybe is doing two jobs, doesn't have time to cook every single night. You know, the thing is, Paul, I don't like taxes, period.
Yeah.
But when you tax a grocery store that's acting like a restaurant, kind of okay with that. You're going to sit there and eat it. I guess there's some logic. We could debate it, but somebody could argue with me that's logical.
Yeah.
But when you tax a grocery store that's acting like a grocery store, now you've gone over the line. And clearly they hid this because when the bill came out, they said, if you're going to a restaurant, we're adding 1% to your restaurant bill. So if you go to a steak place and it costs you $100, you know, you can afford to pay the extra dollar.
Okay.
Once again, we could argue over that, but yep. Fine. We argued, well, what about the diners and McDonald's, but whatever. What they didn't tell anybody was that this applied to grocery stores. What they didn't tell anybody, is that in a 1,000-page document, they stuck in the word grocery store to define what they're doing. So there was a pure intent. They're running from it, a lot of the, not Governor Lamont, but every other Democrat's running from it, saying we didn't mean this. Baloney.
We didn't mean it.
In the word grocery store.
I love that, Len. We didn't mean it. Sorry, you know, I'm sorry that I dropped a lit match on a wooden porch and now your house is on fire, but I didn't mean it.
Right. The Center of Appropriation on the Democratic side said, well, I know DRS, Department of Revenue Service, says that it applies to groceries. They're just going to have to change that view. What? The law's the law. You know, you can't say, well, we put it in there, but we didn't really mean it. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, listen, stuff. Len, next time I file my taxes, next April, I'm going to, whoever the DRS, Scott Jackson, DRS commissioner, our old buddy there, I'm going to call Scott and say, Mr. Commissioner, I'm going to change the view that I owe you $400 in taxes. Okay, will that work, Len? So how's that going to work?
Well, I'll defend you on your way to prison because that's willful failure to pay.
Yeah, it really is a clown show, Len, when this stuff is. Len, here's the thing. If you're going to tax us, just come right out in front and say, here's what we're going to do. If you don't like it, vote against us, right? But the hidden stuff, Len, is what drives me crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I will say this. This is why you don't trust them on tolls.
Yes.
Because they say one thing and they do another. That's why government can't be trusted.
Len, thank you. I appreciate it. Listen, do me a favor. On your way home tonight, don't try and sneak that rotisserie chicken. It's not October 1st yet. So you could
get it.
Here's what you do. You get it, Len, and you flash freeze it there. That's all you got to do. There it is. Len, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks. Thank bye-bye. You. Yep, there it is. They hid it in the bill, folks. It was hidden. If you're going to tax me, like Len said, if you're going to tax me, just tell me up front. Don't hide it.